I'm Tessa Newlin. I was born in Chandler, Alaska, right at the lower end of Big Chandler Lake at the Brooks Range, May 10, 1905. First memory I have of Wiseman is walking home with my mother in the moonlight and looking at those beautiful mountains that had a shadow in them. My mother took me over to the Kobuk River, and we spent our spring there in Long Beach, they call it Long Beach. Then we floated down the Kobuk River to Kotzebue. And all I can remember about Kotzebue is just rain and poured and wind blown. And we came back up again. And
how did you get back up?
With a boat. I was pulled by the dog. There was no motor at the time.
The dogs ran on the bank?
Uh-huh. They ran on the bank, pulling the boat. And then in the following year, after the freeze-up, we left for Alatna. They call it Lackhackett, I guess. And we spent our Christmas there at Lackhackett. And then after the holidays, we went on to Battle. And then spent spring there. The first boat comes in June. And the scows come down from Wiseman in a lot of part of May. That's when they come down. And oh, Brother B. The scouts came from Wiseman. They had no motors at the time. They had big sweepers on each end so they can sweep, pull it across, and then they were pulled by the horses. But in the springtime, when they first come down, they brought big loads of gold. They had it's a small box made a heavy wooden box. It's very small, but it took about 6 or 8 men to pack it up from the scow. And the poles that they carried down used to bend so. And I used to sit there and wonder what make it so heavy, such a small box, because I didn't realize at the time the gold was so heavy.
Where did the gold come from now?
From Wiseman.
Nolan?
No, all of in, from the upper Kaiko. It came in. Mm-hmm. And they had inch rope, spliced on it, and about 100 feet of rope, and a great big board on there. Something was written on it, but I couldn't read at the time.
Had the gold come out from holes in the ground in the winter?
Yeah, it's all underground work. Drifting, they call it drifting. It's amazing how to see that them poles sag so hard, and the men just dig right through the, you know, the gravel, their feet. It's so heavy, and they work so hard to get that up to the store. And there'd be box after box coming off of these cars.
Where did it go from Bettle?
From Bettle, they get, I guess they sent outside by a big boat, the steamer, mm-hmm. Steamer Reliance.
And that came in to Battle?
First of June.
But it couldn't get farther up the river?
No, not as far as it would get, right there. And there's some other boats. I can't remember them, though. There used to be other boats coming in at the time, but I can't remember them. What their names were or anything, but there's, boats coming right along. lot of people going up and down. A lot of people, poling boat. And everything is poling boat. And the cows are drawn with the horses. And what I understand, they get up near Wiseman, they could wade across, you know, keep right on going. But when they first start out, they have to go over the hill and then get a rope to the scout and then start out. There's about a mile of beach there going up. You can watch them going. No. As a child, I did a lot of fishing and picking berries. My mother used to make me sit on the floor and teach me how to sew seam. And I can't get up to play unless I have a straight seam there and very fine stitches. And I couldn't get up to play. But when we did go to play, we didn't have any toys. We'd get rocks. I play with them, and we use them for money, and then we get tin cans, and we fill them up with mud, and played store. And then they'd give us a piece of cloth or something, and then we'd try to make little clothing.
Did you have dolls?
I didn't have doll till I was about 8 years old. Didn't have no doll.
Where did you get the dolls?
A guy bought it from Wiseman. He bought it up there. It had no hair. I remember it just a shiny thing.
Did you make clothes for it?
Oh, yeah, I made a lot of little clothes for it. All hand sewed, though. All hand sewed. And, of course, I love to sew. That's one thing I love to sew. And be out in the woods, too. I mean, get out and fish and trap, too. I start trapping real early for weasels. And that's a little tiny trap. I couldn't set the big trap. I remember my mother and all the rest of the women used to pick so many buckets of big blueberries. And they sold them to the scows and the boat. When they come in, that'd be a day when they land. We go down and sell them. Pack these big buckets of blueberries.
What did they sell them for?
I don't know. That I don't remember. I think it's about $1 a gallon, if that's right. All through the years, it's been $1 a gallon.
No inflation.
And I'm sure they sold it at that time for that. And fish, too. I don't know how much they sold the fish for.
What kind of fish did you get?
They get white fish, king salmon, and dog salmon. I remember this old couple bought in a great big old king salmon. And they couldn't talk very good English, and everybody sliced off of it. All they had was a tail and a head. That was left. They couldn't do nothing about it.
You mean they didn't get paid?
They got paid, yeah, but they got, that's all they had left. They couldn't tell them that they want peace for themselves, you know. They just chopped it right off.
The miners bought everything.
Yeah, the miners come right down to the boat. That's fine. I've seen whitefish. My mother caught two whitefish, and we took a lady along. Her name was Octi. And we got down the other end of the village, and we gave her one fish to take home to cook. And we took up one fish in the boat, and I tied the little boat up. And these guys came down, and one took his knife out. No, when the Eskimo picked up the fish, and the white man came along with a knife open, and he just chopped it in two, gave mother a dollar, you know, each one a dollar. So she got $2 out of that white fish. Mother didn't say a word. They just grabbed it up, and just an Eskimo grabbed it up.
Did you grow up speaking two languages?
Huh?
You grew up speaking two languages.
When I started school, and then I started learning how to talk English. I didn't know it before.
How old were you then?
About eight. I did our own language, Eskimo language, all the way through. Till I started school, and it's very hard. Very hard.
Where did you start school?
At Coldfoot. Coldfoot. We started school, about 11 of us. They were a little better off than I was, because they had some schooling. Somebody had taught them something, you know. But I started right from the square, believe me.
Who was your teacher?
Miss Vanda Coffey. Her name was Ruth Vanda Coffey, Miss Coffey.
Was this a school that was set up by the state, or?
The school was set up by the people up there. The logs were cut, was brought in and set up by the people. There were no.
It was all in one room?
Yeah, all in one room.
Where did your books come from?
From the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I still got the dictionary here, if I could get a hold of it from her.
Mm-hmm.
I got the dictionary that I had in 1919.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we started school, 1919.
Was Coldfoot a pretty good-sized town in 1919?
Yeah, miners were coming and going through there. They had a store and a roadhouse there in Coldfoot. And there was two stores up in Wiseman.
Did Wiseman begin to become a city or a town?
It seemed to me around 1914. That's when our house was built, 1914, that's what I was told. And in that book, that old book, I think would tell when it had started. They had moved up there. My mother used to trek through there, and she said there was nothing but willows and trees, nothing there. And had a little roadhouse up at from Wiseman across there, right mouth of Minnie Creek. Little roadhouse run by Mrs. Miller.
Mrs. Miller.
Yeah, Kate Miller.
No relation to Frank Miller.
No, they were German people.
Oh.
She was born in New York.
Yeah. What happened to it?
Huh?
What happened to it?
Oh, they gave it up. I used to see where it was, but there was no building or nothing there. You know where it was built, had been built.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had saved some of the bottoms and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really nice.
What games did you play when you were a little girl?
We didn't have too much games. We played one game. One child sitting there, but rest of us, we say muck, and we're supposed to keep still, and they start, this child start telling funny stories, and we're not even supposed to smile or make noise. So if one laugh, then it have to be it, so it have to take change place. And we played quite a bit of that, and then we play hide and seek a lot. We had no toys to play with. No toys. Just sometimes they make birch bark boat and put a little sail on it, and then we use thread to hold it out there in the river. The wind would keep it out, and I had a lot of fun with that. Really. Yeah.
Did you go outdoors all the year round?
Yeah, I play outdoors all the year round. Play outdoors.
What did you wear when it was really cold?
I had a fur parky, double parky, boot, mitt, really warm. Really warm. Never felt cold.
Even at 30, 40 below?
No. Never felt cold. We can sit on top of the sled and ride along. Never feel cold at all.
How about your face? Did you cover your face?
No. We didn't have nothing to cover, but the way it was all, you know, tucked in with, I mean, it's rough and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Really warm. Never felt cold now. Now I do. Ready? The Christmas I remember down in Alatna. And they have big potlatches. And it goes on for 10 days.
Eskimo and Indian.
Eskimo and Indian. Mostly Indians have their ceremony and all that. But us kids not supposed to. We don't attend them. Only when they have big potlatches and dances. And first square dance I've seen was there. And it was really funny. Everybody jerking each other every which way. And I didn't even see a tree there that I remember. I never saw a tree, a Christmas tree. First Christmas tree I seen was up in our schoolhouse. That's right.
How was it decorated?
It was decorated. We decorated with popcorn. We string popcorn. We couldn't eat the popcorn either, unless we broke one, and then we could eat it. Trying to string it. And it was a beautiful tree. And what we...
Candles?
Yeah, had candles on it. Small candles, not very much. We did decorating by making things, not nowadays. Making things. We had to string on the popcorn. And what we took a pillowcase to carry our things home.
What kind of things did you receive?
Oh, boy, I remember we got powder. I've got a little dish I showed you, that little round dish. I still have that first Christmas I had there. And a lot of handkerchiefs and stuff like that.
How old were you then, Tisha?
I was about 12, I guess. Eight.
It'd have been about
1916
or 17 then?
No, it's quite young.
About
1913? No, it was 1919 when we first started school.
Then you were about, if you were born in 1905.
Yeah.
You're about 14. Yeah.
I don't know. Not very big.
About 14 years old, though. It'd have to be if it were 1919.
Yeah. We were so happy. First tree for us. For me, it was first tree. It was beautiful. We had a nice big program, too.
Did they sing?
Oh, yeah, we sang. And we got right out.
In Eskimo?
No, in English. It's done all in English. We had a big program. And all the wise men, Nolan, came down to Hammond.
To Coldfoot?
Yeah, for the Christmas. Yeah. Then New Year's, we went up to Wiseman. That's agreement we, had before the holidays. We were supposed to have Christmas in Coldfoot, and then we go up New Year's up into Wiseman. And we had to break trail. There was no, the men folks broke trail. They about 12, 15 of them. And then we had to drive their dog team behind. As they broke the trail, we had all had to drive someone's dog team. And a little bit afraid, all right. You know, that they're kind of strange dogs. You've never been around them. Have to be careful that they don't bite you or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you kind of feel funny about it.
How long did it take you to get from Coldfoot to Wiseman by dog team?
About an hour.
How many miles?
11.
11?
11 and a half.
Only an hour?
Uh-huh. When the trail is good, but this day we took us all day getting up there. Whole big group of them, you know. All of Hammond and Nolan was going back up that one day. The tail end had good trail, but with the first part of it was hard.
In the summertime, you traveled by boat always?
Yeah, by foot. If we want to go to, if we're there in Coldfoot, we have to go walk up. Walk up to Wiseman.
And then you'd have to cross the river.
Yeah. And somebody come and get us.
How would they know?
You just start hollering. Start hollering. The mosquitoes were sick too.
How did you protect from mosquitoes?
We had a net. Mosquito net, what we call mosquito net. Wear a hat and then put this around and breathe through there. That's the only way. And wear canvas gloves. We didn't have no repellent, nothing. They were thick too, believe me. No, it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm-hmm.
We have different dialect. Each tribe has a different dialect. We understand each other, but sometimes now we have to, we call it gun. In the Arctic language, my people call it different, and then we have to explain it to each other in white men. Then we know what we're talking about. Isn't that strange?
The Kobuk. Tell about your Kobuk background that your mother was.
My mother's background? She come from Selwick, and my daddy from the Kobuk. And their dialect is different than the rest of them. It's real fast and sharp to me.
The Barrow people?
It has a different dialect. And the Inman people have a different dialect. It seems every village has a different dialect, different saying. I don't know why. It's that way.
But you can understand each other.
Yeah, quite a bit. And sometimes we get stuck too, even right now. Like Anna Miller said about a snowbird, and I call it a bird in our language. She couldn't understand what I said. And I couldn't understand what she was talking about.
Where was she from?
She's from Barrow.
Now, the Anaktuvik people were mostly Barrow people?
No, they live right there most all their lives, right in the mountains. They go into Barrow, but they just go in, trade their furs, and then come back up again in the fall of the year.
Were they the same dialect as Barrow?
No, they have a different dialect. Really different. You have to, only way I can explain it, you know, like me, I can hear my own and my, cause the bear, I mean, Anaktuvik path. If you listen to them, you know, the what they said, the first saying in their language, you know just about where they came from, the dialect they use. You I don't know why it is. I guess like Brooklyn and Texan. It's just that, you know, they have a little in the South.
And the Kobuk people traveled so much, though. Why did they leave the Kobuk?
Why they leave it? I don't know. Just like you people, why you leave your own down there.
How did they get started following the caribou?
To eat. To eat. They had no place to buy anything. They have to follow the herd to eat.
And the herds would roam eastward toward Canada?
Mm-hmm. My mother had trekked clear to Christian River. Looking for caribou and didn't find it. And they lived on sheep all winter, sheep meat. She says that's the poorest meat to live on, really. You get filled up in about 30 minutes, you're hungry again. Because there was no fat on the sheep. Mm-hmm. No fat. That's what she told me many a time. She said their fat right now, November, would be the fat. And then after that, they lose their fat.
Did these people eventually go back to the Kobuk, or they would just stay inland in Alaska?
No, they go back. Go back to the Kobuk. Most of them is all back there. Back in the Kobuk.
Did they trade much with the Indians or mix with them at all?
They trade. The Indians always come over during the winter and trade with them.
What did they trade?
They bring furs. They bring a lot of furs. And they mostly wore moose skin clothing, caribou clothing. No hair on them, you know.
When they'd have a potlatch?
Oh, yeah.
Did they dance? The Eskimos come and dance with them?
Yeah. They, I guess, have dances for them. That I don't know, that part. But down in Latin, they all dance. There'd be Indian dance, there'd be Eskimo dance, then white man dance. White man dance was the funniest. Everybody jerking one way or the other. Pulling.
Did they worship in the same church, though? The Eskimos,
yeah.
And the
uh-huh. They were worshiping the same church.
And a few intermarried.
Huh?
A few of them intermarried.
No, not at that time.
Not at that time?
No. No. It's later years that stopped intermarried. No. When I was real small, and we used to be gathered by an old grandma. They weren't really our grandma, but we call them grandma. And they make us sit down in a circle, and they tell us about way of life, what we should know and what we shouldn't do. And they tell us about 30 minutes at a time. And no noise out of us either. And then we get told to go out and play. And meantime, they tell us to think about what we were told, to keep that in mind. And it came right down through the years with me. And then next week, being an old grandpa, he tell us something. And of course, there's boys and girls all listen real quietly. Sit there. And each time we start to go out to play, but keep that in mind. Think about it. Tell us to think about it.
Tell about how they taught you to treat older people.
What?
How they taught you to treat older people. How the older people were treated by the young people.
We were taught when we were small never to talk back to our elders, old people, no matter what they said or done. to keep very quiet, and which I try to hold through the years. Sorry. My daddy and mother and brother traveled up the river, and they camped between Middle Fork and Hammond. And my father went out to hunt, and he got two moose way up in a creek up the side of the mountain. He butchered them up and then came down the creek. And here he came to a guy, a white man, had a hole set right in the middle of the creek, and he couldn't get around him. And he couldn't talk English either, so he got a big pole and he laid it across the hole, and he motioned, motioned him how to put a lot of it on and cover it up. And all he could do is hold two fingers up and say, moose, moose. Pointed up the creek. So, next day, he went to haul the meat out. When he came down out of this creek, he was onto the river, Hammond River. He was a lot of white people. They had put a tripod up to weigh the meat, and here was a big box with the gold scales on them. And they opened up the meat and started weighing it out. And my father was trying to tell him he had a wife and child down there waiting for him, and paid no attention. He couldn't get over to him. So he grabbed up a chunk of meat and held it. And when they got through, all he had was two heads and the legs and what he had in his hand. And they handed over the gold dust, quite a bit in a poke. That's what they call it. Anyway, he rode home, and mother came out of the tent, and she said, what happened to your meat? And he said, well, the people up there, there are a lot of white people, and they bought it. Oh, she said, we're going to starve here, sitting alongside of those people. We have to get out of here. And she said, what are we going to do now for the dogs? He had to skin out her head, both the heads, and fix it up for the dogs. So she cooked the little chunk of meat, and they sat down, and he pulled out this gold and showed it to her, see how much I got today. She says, you eat it. And she said, we're getting out of here. Before daybreak, she said, I'm not going to camp beside those people. And so early in the morning, before daybreak, they started up the river, and they got another moose. And this time they hung up the hind quarters and liver, and they had the rest to eat. And they went long up there till they got enough meat to double trip back. They only had four dogs. They were good dogs, though. That's it. I want to hear that.
What did they do with the gold dust?
He said, you see what you can buy pretty things, you know. They when they come back to the store, they buy shelves and tobacco and cloth and food.
What kind of food?
Flour and sugar. Not too much.
Matches?
Matches and stuff. They were, matches. although they can go into the flint, you know. And they have their own flint.
This is what they used before the white man.
Yeah, they use flint, and it's just they get that. It's like cotton off of those little. What do you call them? It's grass, you know, with around. You see them in the summertime, and that's what they get.
Right,
gather that up. Yeah, oh, they gather that up.
And keep it dry always.
Keep it dry. And if they can lose skin, that's why they keep all their stuff. That don't get wet. Loon skin.
In loon skin?
Mm-hmm. They skin out a loon, and then they get slit right alongside. And they fill it up with hay and let it dry that way, and that's what they use.
And that was absolutely waterproof.
Yeah, that's absolutely waterproof.
Have you ever made a fire with a flint?
Yeah, I've had it. I lost it somewhere.
Where did they get the flint?
The flint, what we call the flint, is rock, hard rock. They get it. They get it up north, up in the Arctic country. There's like jade or something. I don't know what it. Rock, hard rock.
And was this a trading item among the people who they traded flint?
Yeah. They took very good care of it.
Did they ever eat the meat raw without cooking it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it has to season for a while.
How do you season?
They get it in the fall, early in the fall, and they dig out a kind of a. They don't have to dig out. They put poles and then lay their meat on there and put some more poles and then a lot of heavy rocks on it so the animals won't get at it. Let it stay there till it can haul it in. You know, it's pretty well seasoned.
Does any of it spoil?
No. No.
If it's in the open air?
Yeah. Air is out going through it. It's done with poles, you know, and rock. Oh, we can hardly wait for that to come in. Need it raw, it's kind of smelly. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got to learn to eat it. I mean, learn to eat it.
Did the dogs eat the food for the dogs was raw, though?
Sometimes they cook it, give them broth, a lot of broth, especially when they're short of meat. They have to watch their dogs, it's their livelihood, too. They have to take good care of them. They don't have too many dogs. They have about, my mother and daddy said they only had four, but they're very good dogs. They, you know, pull together. Mm-hmm. Kept them up in good shape, my mother did. Mm-hmm. They don't make fast trips. They double trip back with meat. Mm-hmm. And then sell their meat. You haul it right up to the store and time they get back it's all empty. The plates are empty. That's what my mother told me.
Did they make their own sleds then? Each one made their own sleds?
Yeah, own sleds and no shoes.
What kind of wood did they use for the sleds?
Birch. Birch.
Did they have to season the wood for that?
Sometimes they don't. They just make it right up and go. So it's snowshoes. My aunt can make snowshoes.
How do they get the bend if they need?
I think they just bend it. been tied up.
What did they tie it together with?
They tied it together with rawhide, and they put block of wood there to make that shape come up and let it dry overheat.
Overheat?
Uh-huh. Hold their shape.
How long
shape.
Would it take a man to make a sled?
Not too long. Not too long.
A week, maybe?
Yeah. They do that making sled mostly in the summertime when they're not moving around too much.
Mm-hmm.
Have it all ready for the fall.
What about the runners? What did they use for runners?
They use birch. And then they have like horn, caribou horn. And the straight part, they put it together and lash it in there.
Slipper.
Use that,
it's
yeah, make it clear. And then winter time, dead of the winter, they put water on it and ice it up and it slick.
What kind of meat did they like the best?
Caribou moose. Caribou, you get a lot out of it for the dogs and yourself. And moose too, but sheep, they don't care about it too much. They're nothing for the dogs, too small. They eat it, you know. My mother didn't care about it too much.
Mm-hmm. But they like the change of the
yeah. Bush
and the...
Yeah, a change will help a lot. But my mother said, can't go too long, and I'm about 2 meals of a sheep for me is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then that smell, can't get rid of it.
There weren't any goats, were there?
No goats where we were.
Uh-huh.
I have never tasted the goat meat yet.
What about birds? You ate shot birds?
Just near them.
Birds?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Oh, make a little snare. You can snare the bird.
Ptarmigan?
Yeah, ptarmigan. Well, you make a ptarmigan snare. Yeah. And rabbit, you make sinew snares. And there's a little piece of wood you put on there, and it's a spring pole. And that's the way you are. When they get in, they... This pole goes down the heavy end and then brings the rabbit up and hang it. That's the only way you can snare them, because they chew the sinew off, you know, if they're not like a wild rabbit snare. That's what they use.
What did you use for bait?
No, you don't use anything for bait.
No bait. Did you eat bear meat?
Huh?
Bear meat.
Bear meat? Yeah, the old people eat bear meat, not young people. Young people are not allowed to eat bear meat. Yeah.
Why?
There's a custom. I don't know what it's all about. Old people, over 50 years old, somewhere in there, all get together and we'll go eat bear meat.
Well, what about that meat that was supposed to have turned Uncle Isaac's skin white?
Bear had bitten him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he got scared or what, but he just started turning white. And he's white. My son told me, you've got a white uncle. And he said, well, who was his father? Boy.
What kind of bear bit Uncle Isaac?
I don't know what kind of bear. Brown bear, I guess. Brown bear.
Well, are there very many that turn white like that?
No. No, I've never seen an Eskimo turn white yet, but my Uncle Isaac did.
There's one in Barrel.
Yeah, he's just as white as can be. And he ate bear liver.
Bear liver.
Oh, polar bear liver.
Mm-hmm.
But my son keep telling me you got a white uncle.
But he said that the one from Barrow said his skin, after it turned white, he had to keep covered and warm all the time because he couldn't stand the cold.
Oh.
He said his skin was very sensitive.
He's just as white as can be right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him last year. I shook hands with him just so, you know, I know his brothers. And he's real white.
What's his name?
I forgot.
Hobson?
No. Oh, dear. I forgot his name.
Uh-huh.
His brother is Wilbur.
Uh-huh.
Itchok. I think that's what his brother is.
Tell about how your mother didn't want to live off the seafood.
My mother was raised in the inland, so when she was quite young, first trip they made into Barrow, they couldn't eat seal meat, too much seal, you know, oil. And the boat had come in and they bought crackers, and they thought they were living on these crackers. And my daddy would go out and get some duck, and they'd eat. My mother cooked it, my grandmother cooked it for them. Then one morning my grandma told the boy, her son, better get that boat ready, these two girls are starving. They were losing weight. And they didn't complain or anything when they're losing weight. So they left that next day. And they got to this river, I think they call it Calvin River.
Uh-huh.
Calvin?
Calvin.
Uh-huh. And they sailed and they got fish. And the girls ate. And next day they got a caribou and they really ate then. Build that.
But they didn't like the whale meat.
No. Everything, my mother told me everything seemed to be oily. Too much oil.
But she wasn't used to that oil.
No.
Seal oil and the...
Yeah, they're used to fresh meat.
Uh-huh.
Fresh meat most of the time, you know. Eat fresh meat, fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat, out there they eat Arctic. Their fish is not like our fish down here. They're not so fishy. They could eat it raw, right from the water.
You mean like sheepish?
No, they're grayling. And they get grayling. My mother says she can eat it right. As soon as it lands, they're brown. It hasn't got that fishy taste like down this way. Mm.
Grayling up there.
Mm-hmm.
In the rivers up there.
Yeah. There's grayling and lash, call them lincod, white fish. They're sort of humpback up there. They're very good fish. Mm. Mother say you learn to eat it raw.
Do they have any salmon up there? Up north?
Not that, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't seem to be in the salmon.
Mm-hmm.
My mother told me when she was a little girl, the older people told her that people were coming and they'd be different than the Eskimos. Finally, they showed up and they had cloth clothes, made a lot of noise, rattly noise. And their food was so different. It was had too much salt in it or either too sweet. So they couldn't eat it. Only thing they could eat is crackers. That's the only thing that tasted good to them. And they ate crackers, nothing else. And they used to buy afterwards, when the stores came, they used to go out, take a few white man food, but when they run out, they never even miss it. They go, they leave in the spring, they come back in the fall, they spend their whole summer out in the woods. That white man food.
Your mother had several children, and she told me once that they died.
My mother had four of us. Three of them died. And she always say, maybe she didn't cook the white man food right.
That they would have done better on the natural.
Yeah, they would have done better on the natural food. She was really careful with me, mm-hmm. Believe me.
What did you grow up on? What foods did you grow up on?
I grew up on white man food, good deal. That I can remember. Mm-hmm. But she was really careful with me. I couldn't eat beans and a lot of stuff. She never cooked them either. She always taught me not to eat any beans or whatever I can't eat, you know, when I'm out somewhere. She always taught me. She was very careful with my diet. And I think it's still with me. I don't indulge in everything, you know, grab up everything and eat this, that, and the other. If I have to eat something new, I just taste it, that's all.
How did most of the people who came into the country, didn't they live on, beans and bacon and...
Yeah, they had their own food, and some stayed, and they were sick, very sick.
Did they get scurvy?
Uh-huh.
In the winter?
They get black. The gum turned black. Look like lose their teeth too.
The old sourdoughs.
Yeah, the first one that come in.
Did they have any natural remedies that the Eskimo people, did they boil leaves or do anything?
They use that, what is that stuff? They look like tea, about that long. It grows all over.
Iceland, what do they call it? Siberian tea?
Uh huh. They use that once in a while, if they don't feel good, and they use a lot of root, what they call a Alaska potato, and they use that, and there's, in the summertime, there's some leaves that grow out, they use that too, and they use wild rhubarb. Lot.
Did they use the stems of the wild rhubarb?
They use the leaves and everything.
Did they boil them?
Uh-huh.
Wow. They made their own kind of tea.
Yeah. And they put it right in the seal oil, I think.
In seal oil?
Yeah, season. And let me see, what else? No. They used a lot of spruce gum.
How did they get the spruce gum?
Oh, go around and go out in the woods and gather it, mm-hmm. Especially to sell to the coast people, what they call, that live like Barrow and all them.
Where did they do all this trading?
Hmm?
Where did they do the trading?
Trading?
Mm-hmm.
They go... They take their furs and stuff down into Barrow, and they trade. When the boat comes in, go right on board the boat, trade right off the boat.
And brought furs, mm-hmm. Ships, and then
shells. Yeah, you know, for the gun cartridges.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tea.
Do you ever remember any of the people hunting with bow and arrow and spears?
Yeah, I remember. They'd be way out nowhere, and they could run out of shells or something, then they make their bow and arrow. But it has to be big, deep snow and be able to run quite fast,
mm-hmm.
catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen it, heard of it in my time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Nowadays they don't.
Yeah.
No. In fact, there's no game to get. The government got it tagged.
Did they use the meat of the wolverine? Did
no.
That?
No. That they don't. They don't eat wolverine or wolf or
no
fox.
No.
No.
Why is that?
They say you this. You feel like them always hungry.
If they were starving, they would.
I don't know. I don't know about that part. I think so.
Did the wolves ever bother you when you were hunting?
When they were hunting? No, not that I know of. Except one girl was out in the Arctic there. I think one girl... They start in the morning, like we're going to move in the morning. Tammy would go ahead before daybreak. So there isn't dogs enough to pull her. She has to walk.
Uh-huh.
And.
But didn't she have to break a trail then?
It's out there. It's a hard snow. And this little boy, little girl, started out, brother and sister, and Wolf came along and killed her sister.
Killed a little girl?
Mm-hmm.
It must have been a very hungry...
I don't know, maybe it was had rabies or something. We don't know.
Is that right? They had rabies way back.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And... My daddy said he was attacked by a bunch of wolves. He was fighting up the Shanlar. And he got down on the river, just got down on the river and was going. And a pack of wolves attacked at him with the dogs. Time he got his gun out and everything and killed his leader, I guess. His leader.
But
he got three of them. When he started shooting, of course, they dispersed. They took off. But it got three of them.
Goodness.
And there was another freighter came up and he said, what happened? He said, a bunch of wolves attacked. He said, I got three of them, though. He was skinning them. Skinning them out. It was before daybreak.
Well, did the... Were the hides of the wolves always quite valuable for the roughs?
Yeah. It's always been high priced all the way through. Wolverine and wolf.
Why?
It's hard to get. They're hard to get. So they've been high priced. They hold them up a real high price all the way through that I can remember. Mother's time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Do you think there ought to be a bounty on wolves?
I don't think so. There's not enough wolf pups. I don't think enough wolf pups.
There's a lot of talk now about their killing so many caribou.
No. They control the people a lot would be better nowadays.
You think?
Yeah. They just run out there and some just shoot them for fun, I think.
But the Eskimos always used in those
days. We, my mother's time, they leave the hoofs only. And then sometimes they make spoons out of them. Boil them down, make spoons. Or, you know, They put them in hot water some way. I don't know how it's done. They make spoons out of the hoofs. Everything is used on the caribou. The horn, they make fishnet sinkers for them, make holes and tie them on fishnet. They use that for to hold the net down. And then everything is used.